one last window of many into the goal of the path. So I use the word deathless. This is another word that's used in the tradition. The realization of the deathless, that which is not born or dies. Which you can see, it's very tricky always in spiritual teachings, pointing to the goal. That the mind is likely to go one side or the other. It's likely to make a something out of it. Like, no, it's the deathless, I've got to find the deathless. It's a nibbana, it's like it's a noun, as if it's a noun that we can get there and have it. And right. That's a tendency of spiritual traditions. Or the other tendency, the other extreme, is to say it's nothing. More a kind of a slightly the extreme of annihilation, that there's nothing there, it's nothing. Right. The middle way, which these teachings point always, it's always this fine, fine middle way. Deathlessness. Or as one teacher points out, even nibbana, we tend in English to want to make a noun, it would be more accurate to put it in a verb. Nibbana-ing, right? It's not somewhere we're going to get to. It's a verb, it's an action, it's an active in that sense. Deathless-ing, deathlessness-ing. Doesn't work so well, does it? If you don't make it a noun, if your heart, mind, the citta, can feel whatever it's drawn to, sometimes we feel or hear that whisper. We might call it to freedom, to that which is beyond birth and death, to unboundedness, to realization, authenticity, more and more authentically what we are. Where there's no mediation anymore between between inner and outer. There isn't this buffer that has to keep mediating the world. But this last window is where the Buddha speaks about practice along the way. He speaks about five spiritual faculties that develop as we practice. And we've been practicing those today. And then I'll get to the window part. And the five faculties, I couldn't remember them earlier, but this particular list, there are many lists and many beautiful qualities, but these particular five, considered the kind of like the engine for awakening, the motor. It's like the motor. We kind of cultivate these five, and it's like a little motor, like the rocket kind of knows where it's heading. Right? It's not me becoming it, but there's that flame, that inspired flame that gets fanned and the motor gets going for this. And the qualities are faith. Faith in the possibility of awakening, not faith in something or someone, but faith in this is actually possible, and we get it for ourselves. It's not a belief or an idea. We get it for ourselves. Like, oh, yeah, when I attend in this way and practice in this way, it leads to a little bit more freedom or realness or something that we like, or else we wouldn't come back, right? Something we recognize. The faith becomes more and more verified, and the faith gets stronger in that this really is possible, not just for some guys in North India all those times ago, but this really is possible. For me. And that can grow and strengthen. It's not that you have to come in with a fiery faith. You may not. These things are growable. Faith, persistence, energy, the willingness to kind of put in the legwork, right? The energy to keep going with it. In a sense, what choice do we have this life but to cultivate kindness and wisdom? Tell me something else you're going to do. I mean, we can do lots of things, right? We can have lots of experiences, of course. Life can be rich and beautiful. But what's it in the service of? The energy, the mindfulness. Always useful. mindfulness, the samadhi, the firmness of the presence that we deepen, and maybe you felt it a little bit more in the day. It's like we get a little bit more here, has this kind of firm, stable quality to the mind. We think of it as the body, but it's like the mind becomes a little less blow-aroundable. It doesn't just blow at every thought that goes, you're terrible. Might just still do that. We might have to work with those places, but there's a little bit more faith, a little bit more stability, a little bit more ballast. And wisdom. The last one is wisdom. That can discern the wisdom, not an intellectual wisdom necessarily, but the wisdom that can discern what pathways, what if I attend in that way, what leads onward, what leads in a good direction, and what does not. Yeah, if I space out and disappear, okay, it's not terrible, but it doesn't lead onward toward what I really love. So the wisdom, he says, these faculties get stronger. It's not like we have to come in with them. Don't worry for thinking, oh my God, I've barely got any of those. Right? They grow. It's not a self here who's going to get enlightened. It's these qualities grow. The motor deepens. We practice, we serve, we cultivate generosity, we do our work in our life, we serve, we make dinner for our neighbor, we do whatever we do, right? And we can sense, oh yeah, okay. These qualities can grow, they're growable, they're deepenable. And he says, the window here is that he says, and these five spiritual faculties, the place where they merge in the deathless. That's where they kind of, it comes together. And something is done. Something is done. We don't do it. Probably all of us have tried very hard at many, many things, including probably trying to be awake or enlightened. Right? But these qualities, keep faith with those, actually. They do. It seems to be true. And that we see that along the way. It's not like we necessarily finish our work, but along the way the path shows different places where certain things have dropped away, that no longer rearise certain patterns that have been the bane of our life or our mind. Sometimes in the path, yes, they seem to a bit stronger, right? Because they come to the surface. But after some time, if we keep hanging out, some of those things, oh yeah, I stopped doing that thing where I stopped, don't know, it's just dropped away. I stopped doing that thing where my brother can really wind me up. Just, I'm not trying to be stoic or clever or rise above it. Just doesn't stick anymore. Right? I'm not saying I'm there with my brother yet. That's quite advanced. With your family, of course, this is the real test. Right? But those kinds of things, some things don't stick in the same way. The citta is a little less sticky. All right, that's another one of the windows. It's the unsticking of the citta. It's like nothing is adhering to it. There's nothing for something to stick to. It can move through. And there's different things along the way. So it's not like we have to wait till we're fully realized. Along the way, if we keep hanging out, we'll see. We'll see changes. And if we don't, then, you know, after 5 or 10 years, we might want to speak to a teacher and say, you know what? Nothing's actually any different in my practice. Check it out. Sometimes, as the Dalai Lama, he says something like, well, if you sit every day for 30 minutes, he goes, that's great. He goes, well, that will just help you sort of stay where you are, not regress. Something like that. I'm sure he says it much nicer than that. Look it up. Don't take it from me. Something. It's like, yeah, it's great. You know, because my answer to the question somebody asked me earlier, they said, well, has the practice made any difference to you? And I said, well, if I consider where my life might have gone if I hadn't practiced, it doesn't look that great. That, you know, I don't know what would happen if I hadn't practiced. Right? That's one way, the via negativa. And yes, that's great love of the practice.